Hi, this is Wes Welker, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
We are back. I have never seen Randy move so quickly when he's outside talking to some UFC staff, realize what the time was. You nearly vaulted across that table, mate.
Well, because Steve, I saw Steve go, okay, go. I knew he didn't turn the mics on. Just a small detail. So, yeah, I had to run down.
Well, yeah, Jimmy got caught up. He was describing the Greek and Moroccan guy with the washboard abs, and he lost.
Hey, listen, like, before our guest comes in, I'd like to finish that one off. But my wife sits and watches these programs, and she's so shocked when the 61-year-old, 400-pound lady from somewhere, probably from a trailer, she finally realizes that the young 19 Moroccan lad that's here, the minute his K-1 visa goes through, he's out the door and he's not returning her calls. And she's sitting there and she's in tears and she's like, oh, it's so sad because, you know, she really loved him. And I'm going, are you serious? Like, is this what we're doing with our lives now? And she's like, I know, but, you know, Amir really loved her. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Here's the one that's even worse. So a very heavy set man was falling in love with this 12, not 10, 12.
Right.
Okay. They found out that he was being catfished.
Right. Okay.
So it was a guy, you know, pretending to be. So they asked, well, we can get a hold of Christian. Would you like to talk to him? I don't know if Christian was the name. And he's like, yeah, I'm okay with it. Now, he's not, and that's fine if he is, but he's not. He's not looking for a dude. But he was like, I'll talk to him. Now, of course, the guy didn't answer the phone when catfish got called, you know. But
catfishing. I mean, it's some world we live in. Do you know what I mean?
Well, do you remember back with the Notre Dame football player,
Like that.
He was catfished in a similar situation. And I don't think it's that difficult to fall in love with the idea of being in love with somebody there, someone to connect with. You know, I think it's a lot easier now to be tricked into that. But so, like, I know so many people that just are in love with the idea of being in love. You know, they can't stand the thought of being alone. And so they go to a place in their own mind where the person's there and they can at least, you know, pen pal or connect with them or talk to them. You see it in the jail systems. Like, people, you know, go to prison for life and they have more girlfriends than people that are single.
You heard what Sean Strickland said.
I thought you were talking about, like, romantic interludes. You know, there's people in prison. Listen, these folks, you know.
Sean Strickland made the comment. He was talking about a fighter and blah, 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 blah. And he goes, let's be honest. If I'm in prison, I'm taking that. Beep.
Yeah. Why not, indeed?
Okay, enough with that.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. You know, I don't know. It's come on. I think folk have still got to try and cling to reality. I think the general problem with society in general right now is people have lost a grip on a reality of what's right and what's wrong and all these kind of things. And it's just people
get so
wrapped. Oh, my God.
Look at this past week. I mean, you've now got the largest healthcare strike right now, the auto workers strike, the Writers Guild, you know, the screenwriters and the actors struck. You know, Congress was going to go on a lockdown. So it's getting to the point where the people who do work or these unions, they're like, we're not going to do that anymore. You know, it's just getting to the point where, like, everybody has entitlement to say no. And, you know, it's going to be, even the Catholic Church is having to bend their rules on not only just avoiding playing our football team on Friday, but they just now recognize that the gay and lesbian community are now going to be part of the Catholic Church, you know, where they're going to have to make some kind of concessions for inclusion and equality.
Yeah, because no one's going anymore. You know, that's the... No one's going to these institutions anymore because it's so dated. And listen, if you want to be Catholic, you want to be Protestant, you want to be Jewish, you go and do what you do, and God love you for doing it. But
I want to be at a buffet.
Randy just wants to be at a buffet. So, but I don't know. I think we've just lost all common sense So these, you know, going back to that dating thing of, you know, some dude that's sitting behind his, you know, his keyboard, and it's just some beautiful girl from, I don't know, the Philippines or something like that. She really loves me, and you're going, there's no like filter in your head going, this might be nonsense. Now, it could turn out to be the greatest love affair of all time, but it might be nonsense. You've lost the ability to go, hang on a minute, that might be nonsense.
It might not be a wild.
She might not exist, and if she, her name's probably Brian. So, and this is why I should run for office.
There you go. As we are waiting for our next guest, I did not watch. I'm sure you did watch the Alvarez fight.
Yes, I did. Yeah. It's the usual nonsense. I mean, Canelo's a freak. You know, Canelo's a. You know, he's an all-time great. There's no doubt about that. He continues to prove that. But the way that Charlo approached that fight is yet again is sort of endemic of the way that things are nowadays. He went in there to survive, and he gave it all of the big talk. You're talking about one of the best, you know, best at what he does in the world. But he goes in there just to survive, and it's just this: I'm going to talk the talk, and I'm going to be really, you know. Words mean things, you know, and in the build up to it, I'm going to knock this guy out, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And it's a very, you know, that's easy to do at a press conference,
sure,
until you're presented with the actual, you know, guy across the ring from you. But he just did nothing. And to be honest, he took a knee. And in our world, that doesn't work, you know, whether it's that, you know, whether that's brutish of me to say, but, you know, you don't fight for some of the greatest titles and give up. That's not all of these fighters that come in here and speak to us on a daily basis. They all have that fire. They all have that heart. So you have someone that talks the talk. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then he gets the fight that he wants. And he literally caves and does very little in an offensive manner.
But
no respect whatsoever.
Once he is getting dominated,
yeah.
Okay, what is he supposed to do?
Well, to be honest with you, having seen the fight, he was being dominated by much better, sure, man. But it's still the manner of how you're, you know, this is still Charlo's still a very talented fighter. You know, this isn't a dummy that we're talking about here. This is I believe he's a couple of times world champion, you know. But, you know, Charlo is not a, you know, it would literally be anyone else in the world. So in that situation, there's a manner in how you approach it.
No, I get that.
You know, and it's just I'm just going to take a knee and I'm out of here. You know, listen, the record books is not full of people like that. You know, that's my opinion anyway. But Canelo goes in, he does what he does, and then Jake Paul calls him out.
Yeah, exactly. I just noticed. Am I a fighter?
I know Randy's got the wrong again.
All right, I'm a fighter.
He's got the wrong wristband on. So they give you a pink wristband. You come into the UFC, and that means media. He's got the green one on, which means he's a fighter. So we'll have to cut this radio show short because he's got to weigh in about 3 hours.
Yeah. And like I said, you're not going to like the weigh in. So I'm not sure I want that.
Jimmy, since you're the combat expert on this network, I saw a recent article that said Chuck Liddell thinks that in his prime, he would have been a trouble for John Jones at his style, with his power, with his hands, that John would have been in trouble had they fought in his prime. Your thoughts on that?
I'm a huge Chuck Liddell fan, and he was probably the biggest influence I had for getting into this sport. When I first saw him come on the scene, he had everything. From the haircut to the style to the aggression to the how hard
to the body physique.
Yeah, he was just
chiseled.
But he was just everything, you know. He was everything you were like, oh my god, there can't be people like this, but there is. He was a superhero. However, you know, I John Jones is just a freak of nature. I mean, I'm trying to figure. I've had that question before when people have talked about John Jones, and you think, has there ever been anyone in the mixed martial arts world, probably not heavyweight wise, but like in that light heavyweight arena, anyone through the history of this sport that you think prime for prime would beat John Jones, and I don't think there is. I can't find one anyway.
I mean, I hate to say it because I think John is the GOAT.
Yeah.
But every time I thought Fedor was going to lose.
Yeah. See, but then Fedor, see, I've never quite got the Fedor thing. As amazing as he was, he never fought in the UFC.
No, I understand
so
that.
So if you're not pitting yourself against the absolute best,
I'm with you.
You read Fedor's record, you go, well, he was amazing. Don't get me wrong. One of the greatest of all time. But can you say that you're the greatest of all time and you've spent your entire career in the UFC
and not played in the
NFL,
and never been beaten,
and I'm not even allowing the Matt Hamill disqualification thing.
Sure.
No one's ever come. I mean, there's people have come.
Or the Dominic Reyes.
Yeah,
one.
But you know, people have come close to beating him, but it's usually when he's, you know, his lifestyle off outside of the ring has kind of played a part in it. When he's focused and he's fit and he's just doing his thing, like it's a beautiful thing to watch.
I promise we do have athletes coming. They are on the schedule. I promise. Let's hit a break. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Stop, 8 Man Strong, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Boomer Esiason, and you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris, so stay right there.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
How's it going, everybody? It's Jordan with Curated Heat, one of the best vintage stores in St. Petersburg, Florida. We are located on 2356 Central Ave in downtown St. Petersburg. We have sold to many different type of people, including Super Bowl winning athletes, celebrities, influencers. We do everything from vintage clothing, Supreme, Hypewear, Kicks, everything you could want, man. So make sure to come stop on down and see us at Curated Heat. Make sure to contact us on our Instagram at Curated Heat or our whatnot at Curated Heat. Again, our Instagram at Curated Heat or whatnot at Curated Heat.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Billy Bob Thornton here, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Apex here in Las Vegas as we get ready for Friday night's Saturday's fight night. I kept thinking fight and saying Friday. Friday's when I'm going to menopause.
Going through menopause or going to menopause?
I'm going to it. I'm not going through it. I'm going to go to it. But the main reason we are here is for Saturday night, fight night, 229.
Yeah.
Hoping that my fellow Philadelphian will be stopping by. He stopped a little early, trying to get done early, which I totally get. But top of the hour, there's not a whole lot I can do. Have to do what I have to do. Are you still building something with Tonka Toys, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm just kind of going through my garage. My community, I, like Jimmy, live in a gated community with safety, because us celebrities can't just be with the common folk. And we have a community garage sale on Saturday, so just preparing my garage and getting ready to start selling the things that I don't use anymore. So hopefully this
that would be
take
all
my...
the weights in your gym. That would be all the weights in your garage.
I was going to start with my daughter, the 9-year-old, so let her see.
You can't sell her.
Well, I mean, trade. Maybe. I mean, if anybody has a bench press, a really nice Bowflex, I would be considering the trade. So I'm just getting everything ready for that.
Blake.
And then you said your Philadelphia brother's coming online. I would like to add to my proposal from the first hour about the number of bells that you get when you expire being rated. I think they should use a Liberty Bell to do those ratings with. So, you know, it's 3 bangs against the Liberty Bell. And you could tie it into your hometown, Randy.
Yeah, I don't think so. The line's too long to get to the Liberty Bell.
You think so?
You know, I've been there before when it's, you know, all the way around and in the Independence Hall. And yeah, you don't want to do that. You want to be able to ring the bell quickly.
Is it true that Lady Liberty had a crack issue? She was, is that what happened to her? Hey, see?
Here's something while we're waiting. Something that I want to bring up. Just so, I mean, Matt, I know that I don't think you're that big an NFL fan. I'm a big NFL fan, but I don't know much about the ins and outs of it. I've been following it for like 30 years, but I'm not like delved into it like kind of you know, sure. You are, Randy.
Sure.
Who makes the Super Bowl this year? Because I'm doing fantasy football. I'm top of my league, which I'm very impressed with right now. But who makes the Super Bowl this year? Because I'm looking to get my bets on.
Okay. First, our next scheduled guest, the team that comes from where he comes from, the NFC. I can't read lips like that. I'm not on Big Brother, Big Brother. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in the NFC.
Right. Okay.
So speaking of the Philadelphia Eagles, this will work out quite
perfect segue. See, this is why I'm a broadcast journalist. Do you see?
How are you?
Oh.
Bravo,
this
Jimmy.
Is why,
Bravo,
this is
Jimmy.
Why, literally, just as we start talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, the man himself walks in. See, this is, honestly, I should do this for a living.
I guess starting with, are you an NFL guy? Are you an Eagles guy?
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. The Eagles are, what, 3-0, 4-0?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're doing good. Yeah. And they're playing, they're not playing their best, but... You got a whole new D-line. Got a lot of shit changed.
All right, and he said ship just for FCC. Because she saw the ship on the front.
Yeah.
So very rarely do I. I've been covering the UFC since UFC 1. So I've been covering this a long time. I'm old. When we do this, and the PR staff gives me a list of guests, I very, very rarely request. I'm like, whoever you want to give us, you know, we're happy with. But I like getting fellow Philadelphians on. Now I know just outside of. But right, isn't that where you're from? Just outside,
yeah.
Philadelphia. So my co-host gives me crap because I was born in Philly,
mm-hmm.
and my mom flew to Philly every 2 years to have the children born in Philly, but they lived in Florida.
Gotcha.
So I'm sure Matt wants to ask you, but I'm going to do it. Am I considered a Philadelphian if Philadelphia is on my birth certificate?
No, but you were born there. You know, I'm also not a Philadelphia. You know, I represent Philadelphia. That's where my team is, where I've been training for, you know, 20 plus years. Always has been in Philadelphia. But, you know, even I am not considered a Philadelphian. And I'm okay with it, man. Look, like, be proud of where you're from. Be proud of your town. But Philadelphia is a free for all right now. Chaos.
Well, it always
is. A lot of crazy crime and whatnot. So I'm happy to rep it in a good way as far as athletes, as far as sports and whatnot. But, yeah, man, not a proud place to rep.
I think, Matt, you have a new favorite fighter, right?
I do. I have a favorite fighter now. Anybody that's against Randy is always my favorite.
Well, I've always been told by every Philadelphian fighter or basically from the area of Philadelphia says it's what's on your birth certificate.
Mm.
So,
yeah, man,
you know, it's.
But if you go and you talk to them personally, like Sean Brady, he's the one that kicked me out of being a Philadelphian, which I'm cool with.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So well, it is what it is. You know what I mean? They're very prideful about it. Do you live on the outskirts? Do you live inside of Philadelphia? Like, my dad was born and raised in Kensington, Philadelphia. You know, he was from Philly. So, but yeah.
I lived in Kensington as well. My uncle had an apartment there. So anybody that survives in Kensington should be considered whatever they want to be called.
Yeah. Well, he definitely could be called a lot of things, my man. We'll leave it at that.
Talk about the journey. Talk about the journey that you're on and how much you're enjoying it.
You know, man, I'm really enjoying it. You know, like, today is stressful, you know. Today's stressful just because they try to shove in your face. And when I say they, you know, just it's not us. Anybody in particular. No, not even you guys. Like, this is relaxing to do, you know, talk to people versus, you know, taking pictures and the whole ego stuff.
Right. Yeah, I get it.
You know, I'm gonna try to refrain from cursing. But yeah, you know, it's a great journey, man. It is what you make it, and it's all about perception. It's all about this illusion that these things make you important and big and all these things. Yeah. So I try to shrink it and make it seem like I'm still fighting for my debut, and and the only thing I'm focused on is this man. You know, I understand this man's intentions. I understand how the air is going to feel when I take my shirt off and I get ready to fight. It's cold, you know. When you get hit, things feel different. So yeah, man. I mean, I'm enjoying the process. Weight cut's going really good, and you know, I'm fortunate to be here, man. That's first and foremost. Is a lot of times I didn't think I would live this old. I just turned 27, and yeah. I'm happy to be here, brother. You know, life is a beautiful thing when you. But we're able to appreciate
your journey. You know, a lot of people will, you know, be aware of certain parts of your journey, especially into the UFC, and you know, since you've got here, you've literally just ran through everybody. What would you say to people that are, you know, struggling in any form of their life? Look at where you are now to maybe where you were a few years ago and stuff. What got you here? What kind of mental sort of tools did you use? Or what advice would you give to people that are struggling out there with anything? It doesn't necessarily have to be in fighting, but you are a kind of poster child for hard work, graft, concentration. Let's just get this done and life can turn for you. What advice would you give to people that kind of listening, you know, about that kind of process in your life and how you've literally just turned everything around to now being, you know, four fights now?
I'm two fights. This is my third, but, you know, yeah. Obviously I came off the...
He's from Europe. Yeah, he can't add.
Got you. So, look, I mean, look, like, here's what it is. There's a lot of people in this game that are committed. I mean, to be to this level, you have to be committed. You have to be dedicated in some form, and you have to have self-discipline, right? You know, so I've had all those things because I've started this at 4.5 years old. I've been in the game for a long time. And to everybody else, you know, to everybody behind the screen, sure, to every interviewer that wants to talk to me, it's new to them, but it's not new to me. So, you know, just being around, having the mind for the game has been something that helped me. But as far as, you know, people that are struggling, that don't see a future, you know, I got a kid that I brought with me, and he's in this room, and he's not even made his pro debut yet, and he's a big-ass 185er, and he's going to be a stud, you know. But yeah, I want to bring him, you know, be an example.
Sure.
Be a leader. Fly him out here. Take him with you. Give him an experience. Yeah. And, you know, put in their mind that they're capable and worthy of being here. I never gave up because I always had an unspoken in my gut, in my heart, and in my mind that said, I didn't think I was meant to be average. And that's what I used to say all the time. And yeah, I've always dreamed of walking out to a crowd. You know, I never dreamed of being a world champion. I dreamed of walking out to the crowd because that was my moment of success. Think any further with how it was brought up was crazy. So just don't think that any dream is too crazy. Talk to people. It's not good to keep all the hurt and pain, you know, the traumas that you've gone through in life inside. Get insight. Doesn't mean you got to make a decision. But, you know, gather information is the best thing I can tell people. And never be afraid to fail, because we all get old very quick. And, you know, I remember in a blink of an eye yesterday, I just graduated high school, you know, and now I'm here with a couple surgeries and injuries later, and I'm in the UFC, and, you know, I'm making a little bit of money and whatnot. But, yeah, just understand that we're all going to get old, and don't look back and realize that you didn't do something because of fear or, you know, being scared, because I am too, and I'm doing it.
Beautiful.
It seems like I just graduated high school as well. I feel that. And then I just got an email, our 45th, whatever it's called, is like, reunion is like next month. I'm like, wait a second, I just graduated. But that's how quickly, you know, it does fly. How difficult is it from the calm person that we're kind of looking at right now to flip that switch, you know, on Saturday, you're walking, you know, into a fist fight?
You know, it's not that hard. It's not as hard as you would think, because when your whole lifeline's on the line, like, this is my way of living. This is, you get paid in two separate checks. So when I know that this person across from me is going to try and take that from me and try to inflict bodily harm on me, you better be willing to take a lot of shots yourself and a lot of brain damage yourself, because I'll never roll over for nobody. I'll never be some steamroll. And I'm confident in this fight on Saturday, and I'm confident in also saying that the only way that this man can beat me is if he catches me with a lucky shot, which is very possible. He has big power, but as far as an athlete, he's not better than me. As far as skills, he's not. Technique, composure. I'm a big kid. I'm a true 85er, and I have a mind for this game, and I'm also not 38 years old, so, and I'm also not 6-5 in the UFC, so, you know, I understand the risk that I'm taking. This man could take it all from me, and so, no, it's not hard to switch that. I hate every man that steps in there to hurt me.
Marcus Jones played in the NFL, and he had a small run. He was on Tough, and he always told me about the NFL that he didn't like the NFL. He was just good at it. He didn't enjoy it. He was just good at it. Do you enjoy this, or are you just good at what you're doing for a living?
I think it's a bit of both. I think I'm good, but I think I'm good because of how hard I train, because of how hard I prepare, and how hard I beat at trying to, you know, make myself better. But yeah, no, I mean, there's both. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't want to deal with the fucking, sorry,
trucking. He doesn't want to be a trucker anymore.
I apologize. It's ingrained in me to speak this way. But listen, you know, I don't want to deal with the anxiety. And the reason that word came to mind is just because it is stressful.
Sure.
It is something that wears on you mentally. And that's why the biggest sigh of relief is victory, you know? So I have victory on my mind. I have it on my brain. I have it in my stomach. I have it through my weight cut. You know, I'm thinking about this person. I've thought about this person for months. I've been training since July. And, yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing, but I am good at it.
So I always try to ask the fighters about the week, and not the fight week per se, but you're in a fist fight, but it's like three.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Oh, you might, every journalist or interviewer, and they're like, man, he's got these 12 knocks. And I'm 11-2, technically. I should be 12-1, right? Like, whatever. But I got 8 knockouts, and I'm 27 years old. This man's 38 years old. He's got 12 knockouts. I'm on trend to smash it. I'm a favorite for a reason. My skills are better. Like I said, every part of me as a fighter is better than this man. And it's not cockiness. It's not arrogance. I'm telling you this. I'm looking you in the face. I'm telling you I'm better than this man everywhere. The only way this man beats me, and I mean this respectfully, can knock me out. I don't think... Can he? Sure. Will he catch me? I don't believe so. So, yeah, man, I'm ready to rock.
Listen, you seem like the kind of person that's always in shape, even when you're not in camp. I might be wrong, but you can tell me. But do you allow yourself after a fight to give yourself a little moment of,
absolutely,
I'm going to have a couple of beers, I'm going to have a burger, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, before you go back into that mindset?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, from it doesn't matter what you do. I think you have to take a healthy step back to reevaluate where you're at.
Sure.
And I'm not so insecure that I have to live in the gym.
Yeah.
Because somebody's out working. Like, listen, I need to enjoy life too, or else I would hate this. Yeah. And, you know, I have no problem taking a little bit of time. I won't pick up an alcohol bottle. I'll tell you that. I don't enjoy drinking. I don't like it. I'll drink very seldomly, maybe once every 6 months. And I don't get drunk.
Yeah.
So, it's just not something I enjoy. I do live a healthy lifestyle, and I think that's part of taking care of the only thing that I was born into this world with. But yeah, I mean, I have to get in shape just like, you know, anybody. Yeah. And, you know, abs aren't what make you look in shape. You know, it's that cardio.
Oh, I know. It's pushing. Believe me, I know.
You know what I mean? But, but you can have abs and still not be in shape.
Sure.
Man. So
sure.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm super secure in myself, and, I kind of avoided your question about thinking about it every day. I think about it every day because I'm obsessed with it. You know, I'm going to be that way until it's over. And even after, I'm going to be like, man, like my last fight, I trashed a kid. But you know, he's a grown man, not a kid. But, you know, I obsess over the things that I didn't do right. And I try to get better at those things. But I definitely will take a healthy step back. I got some things I need to take care of after this. And yeah. I also want to decompress and take a little vacation after this. So given everything goes well and I earned it.
Beautiful. Vacation, where do you want to go? What do you want to do?
You know, I'm a big history person as far as, like, I love, like, the 300 movie, Gladiator, Greece, Rome, things like that. So I was thinking about going abroad, you know, go to overseas, but I don't really know anything about planning a trip like that yet, so we'll see. I might, you know, there's a lot of things I want to see, man. I think part of the beauty in this life that people undervalue is, you know, I want to see the world before I'm dead, and I never thought it would be possible, and sure. Now these things are becoming possible, so I want to go get my two checks. First and foremost, if that's going to be possible.
Sure.
And, you know, I want to go and relax and just have that peace inside because I still try to find that, you know what I mean? And I find that through nature.
Are you a fishing guy at all?
So I love fishing. I'm just not good at it.
Okay.
But, yeah, I do love fishing.
Well, we'll give you all the information. We'd love to bring you down to Florida, take you fishing. My son's father-in-law is the head fishing captain at Disney World.
Oh, wow.
So he can take you on the lakes, bass fishing. We also have a deep-sea fishing guy. A bow fishing guy, so we'll set it up, get you a hotel.
Listen, I would love that. I'm not even, like, please don't gas me in a way where, like, you'll say you'll do it, and then I'm never here.
Ask over there.
Yeah.
Ask.
Yeah,
I offer for a reason.
Just to even be on a boat, man, it's therapy for me. You know, listen, all those guys are tough, right? You know what I mean? But all these guys are afraid to say their vulnerabilities and things
sure.
like that. Don't get me wrong. When Saturday night comes, man, I'm going to be a bofo to deal with, and I'm going to be hitting him to try and hit him. But,
Randy, you know, don't forget. You have a real-life gladiator down here in Florida that will welcome him with open arms. And we can celebrate some pizza. Have that at the restaurant.
But listen, I would love to do that. I would love that. It means a lot to me. So thank you for the offer.
Well, we represent Philadelphia together.
Yeah.
I brought up about the Eagles. What about the other teams based in Philly? Are you a Phillies fan?
I am not. I'm not. You know, I hope they win. I love it because it's local to me. But baseball is boring.
Okay, I agree with you. I do agree. Well, if any of your guys or if you are interested, I love to give people that represent Philadelphia or are from Philadelphia. We have some game used spring training jerseys.
Yeah.
Of the Phillies, so I'd like to hook you guys up if you're Philly guys. And,
yeah, I mean, these guys are all PA guys. Okay. But keep a lookout for this mofo right there in the green shirt. He's going to be coming. He's an 85er, and this is his first time in Vegas, first time UFC buildings, anything. He's never been on a fight week, but I'm telling you, that's a drafted talent right there.
Producer, let's get his info. We'll get him on the show next week. I appreciate your time. We're going to get your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some stuff from Bucked Up Energy Drink. I'll get you my son's father-in-law's number so you can fix the lakes.
Awesome.
We'll set all you guys up and ask the PR, ask Nobby. It'll be done. All right, let's hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the UFC Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
I'm Adam Richman, culinary traveler and gastronaut, and you are feasting your ears on Knockout Radio. Who wants a knuckle sandwich?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
How's it going, everybody? It's Jordan with Curated Heat, one of the best vintage stores in St. Petersburg, Florida. We are located on 2356 Central Ave in downtown St. Petersburg. We have sold to many different type of people, including Super Bowl winning athletes, celebrities, influencers. We do everything from vintage clothing, Supreme, Hypewear, Kicks, everything you could want, man. So make sure to come stop on down and see us at Curated Heat. Make sure to contact us on our Instagram at Curated Heat or our whatnot at Curated Heat. Again, our Instagram at Curated Heat or whatnot at Curated Heat.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chef Robert Irvine, highest rated show on the Food Network. Woo! And you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back live from the Apex. A couple days away, UFC Fight Night 229. What number are we at? 294?
Yeah.
And then you have the 37 and a half that Chuck was on. You're looking at 700 probably,
yeah.
750. So, you know, when you hear these numbers, it's way more,
yeah,
you know, than 295 or four or whatever.
It's quite baffling, actually, how the thing has grown. You know, I know we're in the kind of 30th year and there's a whole thing going on about it, but it is. And what's great about it is they were so smart creating the pay-per-views, but then also having the interim weeks by having these fight nights, where if you're a diehard fan, you still get your fix.
Sure.
You know, and here at the Apex has been brilliant. Obviously, through the COVID thing and with all the stadiums being and arenas being closed down, you know, them taking full advantage of this Apex space, which is brilliant. You know, for the Contender Series, for Fight Nights, for Power Slap, you can get a really good little atmosphere in there, and it is. It's wonderful that virtually every weekend of the year, you've got some fights, which is just golden.
I remember, and it wasn't that long ago, media would ask Dana about, you know, every week or three times, because back in the day, you know, it was once every 4 months.
Sure.
It was like a Super Bowl. Hey, we got to wait 2 more months for the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Get your friends together. Get the pay-per-view. And I remember Dana's comment was, and Matt has brought up about Thursday football and Monday football, and Dana's reference was, is there too much NFL?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at how they gravitate, with the exception of Matt, to Thursday night football. Once college is done, there's NFL on Saturday. You know,
well, it's a fun period during the summer, because when you hit the summer months, or the Northern Hemisphere summer months, that kind of like June to sort of middle of September or maybe August, you know, I mean, it's just tennis and baseball. Now, baseball, I don't mind going and watching it. I'm not the biggest baseball fan in the world, and I don't mind baseball. But there's, you know, you lose your hockey. You've lost, you know, you lose your NBA. You lose your NFL. We lose soccer back at home. It's like you know, there's, it's just nothing happens during the summer. So that idea of going, is there too much? Listen, if there was an NFL game, if there was 50 NFL games in a season, every single one of them would be full.
Sure.
Every single one of them would have millions of people watching it. You know, and so, I mean, if there was a soccer game or a week of football matches and it just ran consistently throughout the year, it would be brilliant. Most people would love it. The players probably would it. But the fans would love it. So that just goes to show you that sports fans are where, you know, you just want something to cling to go, ah, my team's on Friday, my team's on a Thursday, my college team's on a Saturday, Sunday my NFL team's on. We love it. I mean, like I said, you know, maybe the wives don't feel the same way. I know mine doesn't.
But what's funny is that person is like, yeah, I'm a this, they play on Thursday. Yeah. But they'll still watch Monday. They'll still watch Saturday.
Of course, because you're a fan of the sport. And obviously now with the, you know, with the fantasy football thing, especially in the US.
Massive.
You know, I mean, I'll watch Thursday night. I don't even know who's playing.
Sure.
I think it's the Bears versus something or other. But I've got Justin Fields as my quarterback in my fantasy team. So I'll be watching.
So really, what happens is we're good. Okay. What happens is Matt talked about they're going to get the forfeit letter. Right. Well, whoever plays against the Bears is getting that forfeit letter.
Right. Okay.
Because the Bears are forfeiting.
Right. Okay. Hey, they play. He's scoring good points for me. You know, I'm top of my fantasy league. I can't.
Are you really?
It. Yeah. I don't know how. I have.
Okay. Right.
I haven't quite figured out how I'm top of my fantasy league, but I am. So long may that continue. But let me just turn this off. So, yes, we've just got our next guest has just joined us.
So, Jimmy, what have we...
All right, so, Matt, you think about that right now. Let's welcome back to the... And this is very important, and I don't know if I should ask you some things I need to talk to you about on or off the air, but let's welcome back to the program, Alex Morano. Alex, how are you?
Cool, good, man. It's good to be back on the show.
How's things? How's things in one of my favorite places, Houston?
Good. It's raining really bad right now.
Is it?
But we're here in the desert, so I don't got to deal with that.
Matt, should I ask Alex on the air? Because I don't want you to feel backed into this, but we need your help.
Sure, what's up?
Okay. So there was a tragedy that happened in the Houston area a couple years ago at Fort Hood. And there was a murder on the base. I don't know how familiar you are with this. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Matt, what was the young lady's name?
So Vanessa Guillen was a soldier at Fort Hood who was killed on base.
Okay.
She was being sexually assaulted, and when she reported it, they killed her to kind of, you know, sweep it under the rug.
Okay. So, Matt trains the attorney for the family, and they reached out that her brother is having some issues, as we could all understand. And we wanted to help him and get him in a gym and get, you know, just help him. And we wanted to ask you, and I shouldn't do it publicly. I should have done it privately. But, you know, we've had you on before. I know what a cool, awesome guy you are.
Sure.
And I wanted to ask for your help and your help to help this young man and whatever we can do to help him and his family.
Cool. What area?
Houston.
Oh, in Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys know Houston's big.
Yep.
If he's on the north side, by all means, he'll be able to come by. But man, Houston is a awesome hotbed for martial arts. There's a lot of really good gyms. And just if you guys can get me his area code, I could probably direct him in the right way.
I can get that. And we've already told him when I talk to you, I've talked to Eve Edwards as well.
Oh, cool.
I mean, he'll go to wherever somebody because he needs, we all can understand.
Heck yeah, yeah. Martial arts is like a great just like cathartic way to deal with, you know, stress and emotion and you know, really get that under control. So it's always a good thing.
Yeah. Listen, so Alex, we've never met. So I'm Jimmy, by the way, and it's a pleasure to meet you, pal.
Likewise.
Listen, I like to ask, you like to try and get inside the kind of mind of why, as an intelligent grown adult, you make the decision to open a cage door and have it locked behind you. So, what was the kind of journey into you becoming a fighter? Why? Because lots of people ask me the same question. And you kind of go, when, especially now, you know, here and doing what we do and how dangerous it is and the absolute killers that are in your division especially, what makes you do it?
Yeah, that's actually a pretty common question that I got. I was just having this conversation recently. It took me until maybe like my 20th, maybe more pro fight to like understand why I was doing it. I had a really big fight that I unfortunately lost. It was a big favorite to win. It was just not a fun scenario. But I remember the day after the fight, I was like, why do I put myself through all of this? And there was no like hesitation on understanding if I should continue or not. Like that was not an option. But like if I could really boil it down to like one primary, you know, objective, like why? And it was for the experience, like for the, like the emotional and physical experience.
Yeah.
Because really nothing else like it in life. And, you know, I was talking to one of my other coaches about, like, some guys go in there, you know, they fight not to lose. You know, they fight for the paycheck. I fight because I enjoy it. And he was asking why. And I was like, well, I remember when I was an amateur. I had, like, a championship fight. It was my last amateur fight, and I won. But in the back room, I was like, this is the last time I'm ever signing up for this. I mean, I was effectively terrified. But then I made the walk. I had the fight. I won the fight. I won all five rounds. And there was no real damage, and it was a lot of fun, and just that was the last time I ever had that like hesitation. But I never had like a direct reason why, you know, like the UFC at this point now, like the money's really good. But you know, some guys do it for respect, for a resume, whatever. But I do it strictly for like the experience, like the personal experience.
Love it.
What's the experience then like in a fight? You know, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, or are you just flowing and it's coming natural, or are you thinking?
Yeah, it's like super deliberate, precise thought, because like you can't, you know, take your mind off of the task. And it's just so fun, like being in the fight, you see your opponent. It's just it's such a weird place in time. It's like it takes a long time to build up to the fight, and the fight feels like it's going on for a really long time. But then when it's all over, it feels like it was a flash. It's just really cool how like the adrenaline like plays, and like in terms of the experience, like all of the chemicals our brain produce to make it through these high stress scenarios. It really is something pretty cool to experience. And you know, being like close to my 40th fight, got a lot of practice kind of honing in on those skills. And one thing that Coach Safe had told me last time, I used to think there were three types of fighters. There were guys who got scared and quit, there were guys who didn't care and brawled. And there were like the tacticians like Volkanovski. And he told me I was wrong. He was like, guys, at your level, there's no quitters. So you got the two types, the guys who brawl and like go out on their shield and you know, use getting caught as an excuse, or the guys, and it takes much more discipline to stick to a game plan, to work through adversity, and really just like use good technique and strategy to win a fight. And he was like, and that's what a real martial artist is. Because I used to be like, oh, go out there and brawl out of mind. I enjoy that. But like if you get caught, you know, you're not controlling the aspects you can. So he's like, you better not effing go out there and brawl. Like, I want to see good technical, tactical work. So ever since then, I really enjoyed that.
So how does it work with a game plan? Like, I've had guests come on, or they'll, hey, yeah, we'll come on. Send me 10 questions you're going to ask. And I always say, how do I know what my second question is when I don't know how you're going to answer the first one? Same with a game plan. If you have a game plan and your opponent doesn't do whatever you need them to do your game plan, how does that affect the whole situation?
So it's cool, you know, being, you know, a vet. I flew across the world to Japan and fought a guy who was known for pressuring forward and grappling, and the whole fight he counterstruck backwards. So my whole game plan for the, like, my whole, like, training camp wasn't useless, but it was a weird fight. I ended up losing a split decision that I thoroughly disagree with to this day, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, after that fight, I learned a super significant lesson. Do not put opponents on a pedestal, especially their skill set. So, like, generally speaking, my game plans are less specific and more, you know, general, how to implement my strengths, how to avoid opponents' strengths if they show it. But it's way more self-focused than opponent-focused now. And like, that's for myself and all of my fighters. You can't control what your opponent's going to do. You can control what you do. So that's what I try to do, like, focus on.
So look, you're incredibly seasoned across lots of disciplines and have been for many years. And you have had already, like I said, 40 fights?
Close to,
I haven't got the record here, but you know, but what do you see yourself, you know, you're an articulate guy, you speak very well, you're incredibly knowledgeable about the game, you fought at the highest level for so long. What do you see yourself doing after fighting? Do you allow yourself the moment of going, you know, in 3 or 4 years I want to hang up the gloves and I want to do this? Do you have a plan for something that you would like to do? Do you want to stay in the game? Do you have things business-wise you just kind of want to set yourself up with? You know, yeah. What do you see yourself doing in a couple of years?
Yeah, thankfully. So as a hobby, I actually do cage-side commentary for Fury Fighting Championship on Fight Pass. So like if something comes out of that, fantastic. But I actually run a very successful gym up in the Woodlands, which is north of Houston, Gracie Baja, the Woodlands. I've been there since I was a teenager. I own and run it now. Like we have a waiting list for kids to sign up. Like we have a 7,000 square foot gym. It's a big gym, like 5,000 square feet mat space. One of the biggest, nicest gyms you'll see, and our mats are packed. So when I'm not training, I'm teaching, which I enjoy just as much. If I had to choose between one of the two, I would continue to teach because it's got better longevity.
Yeah.
And I genuinely enjoy it. And then like coaching, I must understand the information. Fighting, I must understand how to apply the information. And then in doing the cage side commentary, I have to know how to explain the information like to the layman, which is really nice. So I feel like all three aspects really give me a good understanding of the sport. And if there's anything I can talk about for a long time, it's martial arts. So, I mean, it comes very naturally and easily to me. So I'll take that in a day.
Let me ask you this. You talked about the fight that you lost. You thought you won. A lot of fighters say that. Michelle Waterson, before her fight in the promo, said that she went to a judge or two and talked to the judge and asked him questions. I'm a judge in the state of Florida. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And she said that I wanted to ask, what is he looking for? Have you ever done that? I thought it was such an awesome...
Oh man, I do that more than you guys believe. So just last
that's so smart.
Just last Sunday there was a Fury Challenger series, which is like 10 amateur fights and like 5 pro fights. And I had two of my amateurs. That one of them's 5-0, one of them's 5-1. They're both fighting for belts soon. They're awesome. Both wrestlers with good striking, great jiu-jitsu. And then one pro. And we had won all three fights, but our first guy who fought, Joe Hendershot, he's the man. He had a guillotine in the second round. But in the first round, the striking's pretty aggressive on both ends. His opponent maybe threw more, but Joe takes him down and has 2 minutes of top control time. So I ask one of the judges, and they're like, hey, how'd you guys score the first round? They all three gave it to his opponent. And, like, normally going in between rounds, I'm not like, hey, we won that one easy. I told him we won that one easy. We all assumed we won it. We didn't even really have a conversation about it. So I always pick the judges' brains. We had a guy get a third round TKO win recently, and I talked to all the judges like, hey, how'd you guys score the first two rounds? And we would have won that decision anyway. But yeah, I talk to the refs and judges all the time. If I ever have a question or I don't understand something, I'll certainly ask them. And thankfully, in the Houston MMA scene, I've been in the mix for like 15 years, so I know a lot of these guys really well.
Right,
yeah. Arguably, one of the best judges in Texas is Jeff Rexford, and we fought each other back in 2012. So, like, I know the guy well.
Yeah.
Joe Solis, he reffed one of my first pro fights ever, and he's still doing it now. Like the judges I know very well. I mean, it's just cool.
Well, and it's smart that fighters do that.
Of course.
You
why wouldn't you?
I've never had anybody ask me, you know, when I'm judging, not that that's a big deal, but when she said it, it's the first time I've heard a fighter say that. I'm sure plenty do, you know, as you just said, but I think that's so smart because there's so many things judges are looking for. You want to know what they're looking for so that you can use that instead of maybe something else.
Yeah, I'm an information junkie too. Like we had some submission-only matches and it was like these two young, like 10-year-old gray belt girls. And our girl was super active. Like the other girl pulled guard, refused to get on top. Like, went for, like, 2 really crappy arm bars. My girl was, like, hitting pass attempts and just pushing a pace. And we lost a decision. Like, you can never argue or be mad at the judge or refs. That's just not tactically a smart choice. But I was like, hey, guys, you know, I appreciate the work. Why did we lose that match? Like, what are you guys looking for? And they explained to me exactly the moment they had given it to the girl. It was going for, like, a really bad arm bar. But it was more submission attempts than my girl. She was just, like, on a passing rampage. And I was like, okay, so now I know the name of that game. And like, one submission attempt beats anything. And we know that now. So now we just, you know, spam subs.
Before we run out of time, I don't want them mad at me. So let's talk for the next minute or so about Saturday, about your fight, your thoughts on Buckley.
Yeah, Buckley, he's a great martial artist. He's explosive. He's dangerous. I've watched most of his fights in his career. And when he dropped down to welterweight, I was sure we would get matched up. So it didn't come as a surprise. I'm definitely not taking anything lightly. I trained my freaking butt off for this fight, and I'm ready to go scrap on Saturday.
Listen, I mean, that's it. What are you looking forward to anything after the fight? Like, we you know, like, I'm always kind of, you know, like, you meet some fighters, and day by day, most fighters get to a point where, especially in this business, specific business of MMA, most fighters keep themselves in good condition year-round. You wait for the call. You know, it's just better for your general health, all of those kind of things. But do you allow yourself, you know, Sunday to have that big juicy burger?
Hot fudge Sunday.
You know what I mean?
Sure,
what are you looking forward to?
So, man, I always take a really early flight home on Sunday. I'm looking forward to going home.
Fair play.
Which is one thing. But I know, so it's cool. In October, this weekend, I have my fight. Next Sunday, we have some Shinoli matches, like my second-in-command, Jake Heffernan, as a black belt match. The week after that, my boy Jaden's fighting. The week after that, we have more sub-only matches. And that's the Islam Makhachev pay-per-view, so that's a fun fight weekend.
Yeah.
But I just want to go home. I mean, yeah, I'll probably eat some pizza, but I mean, maybe. I don't really have that anymore. I mean,
yeah.
I just done this for so long.
You're just always in condition.
I mean,
yeah, I get
for
it.
For the most part, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So. Alex, thank you. Yeah, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We're going to get your address again, send you another care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some stuff from Bucked Up Energy Drink as well.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Take
appreciate
care.
Your time. All right. We're done. Came to you live from the Apex. Until next week, we'll be back. You'll be here in Vegas. We'll be back in Tampa, St. Pete, doing some fishing or reading about the Rays losing and being out of the playoffs. So until then, Matt, thanks for tuning in, jumping on, and we'll see everybody next week.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.